Hi, I'm Gloria. I am a compulsive overeater living in recovery, and I wanted to be able to share. And let me see if I could actually do this screen share. Oh well, I'm gonna I posted them in the chat to
You want
directly to
do you want me to screen share? Okay.
yes. If you could screen share those, that would be wonderful. If not, let's keep it simple, sweetie. I am Gloria. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm gonna try and talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. In the screen share, you'll be able to see pictures. I am that person. I was the human yo-yo throughout most of my life. The up and the down. And food, as when I was a child, was never a problem for me. It was a problem for my parents, specifically my father. I did not occur to me for many years that the reason my father was concerned about my weight is because his mother's name was Elizabeth Connors. I am a Connors from the word go. She died of her fifth stroke from and she was obese. So he had always been concerned about my weight. He never said that. He just kept sending me from diet doctor to, and I, they had me do prescription diet pills when I was a teenager. They sent me to Weight Watchers. And I laugh because, well, I'll speak about that in a moment. But, the number on the scale was never a problem for me. Okay. And it started becoming a problem. I saw the problem finally. Oh, that's what they're talking about. I saw a picture of myself in high school, in my senior year of high school. And I to this day, I remember the number on the scale. I had just been to the doctor and got weighed, and I was back then 199 pounds, and it showed. So that's when not so much the eating but appearance became a problem. Up to that point, I had tried the many things, the diet pills, the diets, Weight Watchers, even AIDS, those little AIDS. And a couple of years ago, I went online and looked at what was in that and what was in those little, or, was sugar. The number one item was sugar. And it's like, oh, that explains. I just, But at Weight Watch, when I went to Weight Watchers, I remember one week I had gone there and there was a very restrictive diet. This is when you had to do this. This is back in the 60s and the early 70s. You had to do this. You had to do this. You could not do this. And one week I did not lose the requisite, the required amount of weight. And, they, at that time, they weighed, I don't know if they still do, but at that time, they weighed you in front of everybody. And I got shamed. The leader just shamed me in front of everybody. And the reality is, I didn't need her to shame me. I could do that all on my own. I could live, I when I came into OA, I came in with the 2x4, what I call the 2x4 of guilt and shame. And but it was around that time my aunt would invite my siblings and I one at a time, as we graduated from high school, back down to Long Island. For a week. And it just so happened during this period of time, and she didn't remember this years later, she didn't remember this, but she was in OA at the time in the early days, because this was 74. Yeah, 74. So she invited me down and I went to a meeting with her. She went to a meeting. I think this meeting was actually in Levittown. It was somewhere within the town of Hempstead. And I went with her and it's like, oh, I like that, for no other reason than there was no shame, A, and there was no, you must do this, you can't do that. One of the things I remember to this day, 50 years later, I remember hearing, Everything you hear here is but a suggestion. And I love that cup mug. Clear. But the problem was, I live about 150 miles north of Manhattan. And this town was like 20 miles east of. So my, God bless my father, first this aunt's sister. He would read the local paper from front to back, including the little classified ads. And there was a classified ad that says, "Is food a problem for you? If it is, come to OA. There's a new OA meeting, and it's based on the 12 steps." What was the added, what helped me want to go to these meetings, along with the fact that I had already been to one, was my father, just the year before, had gone into OA, I mean, into AA. And he's always allowed me to share this part of the story that he was in AA. And the 12 steps worked. The 12 step worked for him. It was like night and day. When that man worked the steps, he was a totally different man than from when he was drinking. So it's like, okay, so for those people who you of you, and I know there's at least one person that lives locally, this first meeting was on Furman Street in Schenectady, which is part of the New York State Capital District. So we would go, he would bring me to that meeting every week, and he had an AA meeting right down the street. So, he was willing to carry the message. This is a man who was willing to carry the message for somebody who still suffers, albeit in a different room, in a different 12-step group, he was in what I heard people call, he was in the mothership. And he was willing to do that every week, just to see me, for no other reason than to see me healthy. My early years was I kept blaming my parents for my weight because my childhood was very havoc filled. There was a lot of fighting, both physical and emotional abuse. But it wasn't until years, and like I said, he used to pick on my weight, and it wasn't that he was picking on, he would harp. That's the word I would use. He would harp. And it wasn't that he was trying to harp on the number on the scale. He was just concerned. He was concerned for my health. But along with, I got to tell you, all the havoc, and all that, he gave us so much. Both my parents gave us so much really great stuff. Not material stuff, but he gave us in many aspects a really cool childhood. And I get to appreciate that. He passed away in 2005. And I was able to thank him. I was able to thank him for my child for our childhood. Because one of the things that we realized, or at least I realized, is that my father loved me enough to want to stand in front of a bus for me if he had to. Did he ever have to? Certainly not. But he loved me enough to want to make sure I led as healthy a life as possible. So what the thing, what happened is I saw the picture. And I'm that person that, when I first came in, I did come in for the vanity, and then I left because I lost the weight. I got down to that goal weight, and I graduated, right? And yeah, and I kept it off for all maybe 10 minutes. So I did that revolving door thing. The thing that ultimately changed and made me glue my ass to the seat was, in 1999, my mother came up because there was something happening with my sister, and she came up to help my sister. And so this one day she was up with me, and all I could do was yell and scream and holler at her. And I didn't even know what the hell I was yelling, screaming, and hollering at her about. And she left. She said, "I'm not taking this." So she left my apartment. And in that moment of quiet, when the yelling stopped, I heard, I think you get need to get back into OA. And I knew it was my higher power to whom I call Grace. Because up to that moment, I was so resistant. I kept coming up with excuses, excuses, and lame ass excuses as to not come back to into OA. I was too obese to get back on to get on the bus to go, and I could do that if I needed. If I needed my drug of choice, I would do that. I couldn't afford to eat properly. I was spending copious amounts of money on cigarettes and junk food up the wazoo, but I could not afford to eat right. And I knew from experience that I couldn't afford whatever, didn't matter, because as long as all I had to worry about is one day, but that's a little later in the story. So I said to her, I need, you know, I went out and said, I need to get to an OA. I need to go to OA. And she said, oh, her first words were, thank God. Thank God. And the interesting thing I always thought was interesting years later, I knew exactly where there was a meeting any day of the week. I knew exactly where they were, when they were, what bus would take me there. And she, you know, this was at like 9:30, and there was a meeting at noon. So she says, I'll take you there. And we did a couple of other things, and then she took me there. And I got to this place where it was being held at, and it was in the basement. And my first thought was, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get up that stairs. Because in that moment, I just got weighed that morning, and I weighed 337 pounds. And that's part of the reason why I wanted the pictures to be shown, because that day I was 337 pounds. I just got weighed about 2 weeks ago, and I'm 135 pounds. I don't know how that relates to how it's measured in other countries, Canada and the UK, but here it was 100. I am 135 pounds, so that's almost a 200. Almost, no, that's 202 pounds. Yeah, and I remember feeling I surrendered that day. I knew I was safe. I knew I was safe. I was free. I was on my road to being free of the compulsion to eat. I knew it was going to be a journey. I didn't know how I was going to get back up the stairs, but everybody helped. I didn't know how I was going to get there the next day, but I knew I didn't know, yeah. There were a lot of things I didn't know. I didn't know how I was going to get there the next day, but I knew in that moment, that day, I needed to be there. But I also knew in that moment, that guy, I sort of kind of, without actually thinking about it, that the rest would take care of itself. Years later, I, what, years later, because I fought step three. I got to tell you, I really fought step three. And that's part of the reason why I kept relapsing over the years. I didn't so much care that I was relapsing, and that came up. That I was relapsing didn't matter. I knew I needed to keep coming back, because every time I have left these rooms, I end up right back in that same place with more weight. As each time I've left, the weights come back on plus more weight. So I knew that if I left, I would end up back at 337 pounds, unable to walk more than 10 feet because my breathing was really inhibited, disabled because all that weight. So I knew if I left, I'd end up right back there and more physically.
5 minutes, Gloria,
Thank
left.
you, but thank you. But I also end up with more of the garbage in my head. So let's talk about step three. I fought step three because I did not trust anybody, anything, including that God of my childhood. It dawned on me somewhere along the way that it was that very God that brought me into the rooms. God kept bringing me to OA and kept bringing me back to OA. And I had to learn to trust that God. So I'm going to talk about what it's like now. I could, like I said, I couldn't walk 10 feet without being out of breath. And on October 2nd, a friend of mine and I went up to Montreal and spent 2 wonderful days in Montreal. And from here in Albany, that's 219 miles each direction. So that's 438 miles. And then a few days later, I went in the other direction to see this certain little British chickie girl. That's another 100. So in a period of 10 days, in a period of 10 days, I traveled 778 miles. I think, well, it's 300 miles and 438. I could not have been able to do that 25 years ago. I would not have had, I would not have had the physical ability to do that. I would not have had the emotional ability, because one of the things I did while in my disease, I lived in fear. Fear I would do something wrong. Just this, I was this bundle of fear of negativity. And I, along with the fact that I didn't have any money. And I bring that part up because one of the often it even says it in the big book, stay. Keep coming back until the miracle happens. Well, somebody, here locally said, keep coming back until the next miracle happens, because there are many miracles. One of the many, many, many miracles is that I quit smoking using OA. I used OA and the principles and the support. I needed to quit smoking, not because of the breathing. I would think it would be that, but not. But I quit smoking because I couldn't afford it. But I quit smoking with the help of the 12 steps and the support I got in these rooms. I announced in an OA meeting that I quit smoking, and former smokers came out of the woodwork and just supported me as I went through that struggle and helped me to the other side. So all that helps me be able to really enjoy life. And which really is, I mean, that is a gift. The gift, I mean, that being able to go down a few days ago to the city and meet many of you in person for the first time, because I'm gonna tell you, I got to Strawberry Fields, and I'm looking for those people, and suddenly I hear, and I saw it, and I was hoping to, people come running at, and it was,
1 minute left.
thank you. And that is one of the many, many, many gifts of OA. And on that, I pass it back to the moderator. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.